I'm your host, Brian Williams. Thank you so much for your patience as we took a little break, took a little small break to get through the Thanksgiving holiday. We had some things to work on the back end, and we wanted to get those things so we could have great quality to present to you from week to week. As you know, this podcast is aimed at spreading God's word to all media platforms with the intent of spreading help, hope, healing, and wholeness to the life of the listener and the believer, whether they're a believer of Jesus Christ or not. Hopefully we can get you on board and become a part of that family if you are not there. So if you are not a part of our family, that's what we're doing here. Hit that subscribe button, share this with someone, go ahead and get the word out that we're here and we're trying to do great work to carry the word of the world that Jesus lived, he died, and he's coming back again. So we want to apply it to real life application to show you how the Bible applies to everyday life. So as we move forward, our lesson is going to be just a little bit different. Our building moment for today is going to be a little bit different than you would normally see coming into. We're onto Black Friday. We're just passed up Thanksgiving Day. We're seeing sales going to be able to buy things. But what has God got to say a little bit about this? As we look around, we see spending. But if you've been paying attention to the news, there's a word that keeps rising up. And it's coming from everywhere. And I want you to be aware of it because it's going to apply into our lesson on the day. That word is called recession. Now, it's not to cause any fear. And I want to let you know at the outset of this message, yes, God does take care of his people. God cares for his people and he takes care of his people. But there's some responsibility that he has for us to do. That he's called for us to do in order to be who he's called us to be. So that word recession has been floating out there, especially around this time. And there have been articles out, and we've seen people like Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates, billionaires, are speaking out. And they have everything to lose, really, because it's their product that you're going to probably go out and buy. For you not to go out and buy that, it could hurt the bottom line, but they're in a sense of caring about people, because that's who they are. And you're most like God when you see something going on, and you choose not to turn a blind eye, but to share it with someone else. And that's what this episode is about today. So our episode is going to be titled Mindful Money Management Monday. So let's go into let's do a little high level summary of what a recession is and what a depression is. A depression is what we've seen back in the 1930s, is where things were really, really bad. I mean, gas was nowhere to be found. It was where anything, wherever you went, this is what happened. You couldn't find it anywhere. But in a recession, all it does is, all right, let's talk about what a recession is as opposed to what a depression is. A depression is where we've seen in the 1930s and history, in the U.S. history, is where things were really, really rough. You couldn't really have any work done. I mean, the land was dry. And we see that in the Bible as well, when it comes, especially in this text that we're going to cover on today. And it was very, very hard to make do during that time. But in a recession, it's a little bit different. It's where things are at an all-time high. It's where you have prices are going up, sort of like gas. Or you go into the store and you see, little Debbie cakes are no longer like a dollar. They're like $2 now. Or you go in, things that would normally be cheaper have risen because it's to catch up to what is going on in the U.S. government. Now, as opposed to today, we do not have to worry about a depression happening ever again in U.S. history. Reason is because in the 1930s, there were bills and laws that were passed to help us, to protect us as citizens against that kind of thing. Matter of fact, you saw one of the benefits of that in the 2020 pandemic. It was called a stimulus check. The stimulus check was rolled out because it was a platform that was used by the government to keep us from falling into a depression again, as far as the economy goes. But it keeps us stabilized and it keeps us kind of stable in order to get the government back and running. Well, it didn't really work out the way they kind of thought it was, because people took the stimulus checks and some of them did spend the money on them, and it was supposed to go back into the government. But some people saved the money because they didn't know how things were going to go from today or tomorrow. And so now that we know that a depression is different from a recession, let's look in the Bible. So in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 41, we'll see that, which is our lesson for the day. And it does look like a depression is happening here, but we will also see some things rising up as well to see how God is asking us to currently handle our finances during this season of giving and cheer, where it's really meant about Jesus. But we've tried to take it a little bit and we turned this holiday into a $1 billion industry where people are just spending, and then they have a bill that's due come January. So we want to kind of be mindful of that on this one, on this money, mindful money management Monday. So as we move into Genesis chapter 41, let's give a little context of what's going on. There's a young man by the name of Joseph, and he's raised up and he's his father's favorite son. That seems to go on in their family, where favoritism is happening in there. Well, Joseph has a few brothers, and his father decides that he wants to set him apart. So he gives him this robe of many colors. Now, it puts a target on his brother. It puts a target on his back with his brothers. Well, one day, his father sends him to go see about what his brothers are doing. They see him way before he sees them. They decide to take the robe off of him, put him in a pit, and sell him into slavery. Well, they wanted to kill him at first, but one of the brothers rose up to say, hey, let's not kill him. Let's go ahead and sell him into slavery. What they do is they go and dip the robe in blood, take it back to their father, who is so grieved over the years that his favorite son is gone. So they sell Joseph into slavery. Well, he goes into this Potiphar's house, which would be almost like the mayor of today. And so he goes into this person's house. And while he's there, he encounters the Potiphar's wife. Well, she's got a thing for him. She wants him, and she wants him sexually. And so she sees this young man, and she wants him sexually. And so, and he turns down her advances because he says, hey, you know what? I can't do this. He says, your boss has been really, really good to me. And because the Lord has shown him favor, he says, look, I can't do this because of your husband, my boss. I can't do this because of God. And she's persistent in it. And so one day she has enough. She gets really, really bold with it. And what she decides to do is she tried to take it. She said, you're going to come get this. And what she does is she really lays it on him. And what he does is he says, uh-uh. And he breaks free. And when he breaks free, in order to break free, he lets loose of his robe. Well, when he's running out of the room and she has his robe with her, she turns and flips the script. She says, this man has tried to rape me. Well, according to the law that day, because of this would have happened, Joseph probably should have died. Well, because of the providence and the favor of God, he's removed from the home and he's put in prison. When he gets in prison, and this is all a part of God's plan, by the way, he gets in prison. And when he gets into prison, the Pharaoh of the day gets a little mad at two men. He gets mad with them and he says, hey, I'm sending y'all to jail. Well, they get into the prison and they're cellmates with Joseph. And when they both wake up one morning and they say, man, I had this bad dream. And they both have the same dream. They both have a dream that needs to be interpreted. And so when the dream is interpreted that they both have, Joseph said, here's what happens. He said, let me tell you what's going to happen. He said, you're going to be restored back to the king. And you're going to be dead by this time tomorrow. And it happens exactly the way Joseph says it in the dream, because they both had the same one. Well, as it happens, one's restored back to the Pharaoh, the other one's dead. But Joseph is now still sitting in the prison. And I reminded you a few weeks ago that your purpose is always tied to a problem. And part of Joseph's purpose was what? This dream. Now, he got in trouble with it, which caused him to get into slavery through his brothers. Now he's interpreting a dream, and these two other brothers are going back. One's dead now and one's being restored back to the palace. But now, 2 years later, the Pharaoh has a dream problem. And in his dream, he's so disturbed by it that he calls upon the magicians and the sorcerers of the day, which you ought not be dealing with, by the way, tarot cards and sorcery and horoscopes. God's not in that. If you're doing that right now, you take time out right now and repent and ask God to forgive you for putting that, because that is illegitimate access to heavenly things. So what he does is he calls upon them and no one can interpret it. But this person who butler who says, hey, you remember when you got mad at me 2 years ago? He said, when I was in prison and you sent me down there, there was this guy who interpreted my dream. How about he can help you? And so the Pharaoh says, okay, here's what we'll do. Go get him. And what they do is they go get him and they clean him up, and they clean him up because he can't go to the king looking all dirty and furloined and of that of that nature. And what he does is they clean him up, bring him toward the Pharaoh, and he has this audience with the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh says, look, here's my dream. He says, can you do something about it? He says, yeah, I can do something, but it's only for the Lord to interpret. So I can do that based on what he's given me. And the Pharaoh begins to tell him the dream. And he says, oh, okay. All right. Here's what happens. And that moves us into where we are on today. There's a situation brewing. And that's verses 4 in chapter 41, verses 1 through 8. And this situation brewing is this dream that is being told. And so as this dream is being told, and it's all about lean years, it's all about fat years, it's all about things being wealthy in the land, and then all of a sudden things turn really bad. Sort of like what we see on today. Things were really, really good. We were rebounding, going to the pandemic, and things got a really, really little sketchy. And then people began to have to lose jobs. And people are still currently losing jobs today. People being laid off. And they're having to refine jobs, and it's taking them months to be able to do so. And as they're doing that, now we see inflation is affecting how we go about getting gas on a day-to-day. Situation brewing. It's affecting even when we go to the grocery store, because our grocery bills are a little bit higher. There's a situation brewing. And here's the thing. Most analysts say it will not be concluded until 2024. Pay attention to that, people. That is voting season when we vote for another president. Pay attention to that, because it's going to affect how you vote in the next election. Now, if you haven't had a chance to look at why you should vote, it might be a good chance for you to go ahead and do it and refresh yourself on why you should vote, so you're not caught up behind and you've already gotten yourself together. So when this 2024 election comes up, you're ready to be a part of it. Well, the situation's brewing, not only in the Bible in verses 1 through 8, but it's also brewing in our land on the day, and it's called recession and inflation, which is us being mindful. But then we not only see this situation brewing, but in verses 9 through 16, we see that God has sent a special person to advise in the situation. Now, that person's Joseph, who I've just given you some content on, some background on who he is. But on today, we see people, God has raised up people who have expertise. Now, they don't always, Bill Gates, we don't know if he's a believer of Christ, and we don't know if Jeff Bezos is, but here it is. You're most like God in what they're doing. If you look at Jeff Bezos and you look at Bill Gates, they have committed their lives to philanthropic efforts, which means that they don't want to leave money when they die. They're giving it away. So even though they may not say they believe in God, they're acting just like one of his children. They're acting just like he would want them to do. But he's raised up people with expertise to kind of warn us and to tell us this thing is coming and we need to be prepared. Sort of like what happens in the Bible when Joseph is interpreting this dream to the Pharaoh in verses 9 through 16 and telling him everything that's going to take place and what he needs to do. That leads us to our third point. Not only do we see the situation brewing for them, which is trouble coming, and for us, recession, there's also a special person who he's raised up, which is Joseph, through the gift that God has given him. And today we use the Holy Spirit in that area, but we also have special people who advise us that we should probably be mindful of. But he tells him, Joseph does, tells the Pharaoh, and that's what I'm telling you today. You need to save and store up. Save and store up, verses 25 through 36. Joseph goes and he tells the Pharaoh, hey, look, man, we need to start storing up grain. We need to start storing up because this thing is going to get really, really bad. He said it's going to get so bad that the good years that took place are going to wipe out any memory when the bad years come. You won't even remember it. And so he tells him, we need to start storing up, right? You need to get someone who's going to assist you in this and store up some stuff so you can get on, we can make sure that when this does happen, you're prepared. Now, hold up, wait a minute. Let's put a little clarification in it. Pharaoh is not a believer in God. Yet God has given him the access to go out and do this work. Hold up, wait a minute. Let's put some clarification in it. Pharaoh is in Egypt. Joseph is there. But he's coming from a godly family. And yet God is warning someone who does not have any history with him. Matter of fact, serves other gods. And he's warning him. Trouble is on the horizon. You know what that is? That's God trying to bring someone, according to his plan, closer to him. How many times have you been around, and how many times has God used situations and scenes in your life to draw you closer so you would know who he is? Speaks of relationship. If you don't know him, here's your chance. Hit us up in our inboxes on one of our platforms, and we can walk you through the plan of salvation. But not only does he tell him to save and store up, he goes about how we should go about getting it done. And we will later see that he takes his advice and things turn out well in the land. But how does that apply to you today? It applies to you by doing what? Spending less. Jeff Bezos says that, hey, you might not want to buy a TV right now. You got that car? It's not a good time to go buy a car anyway. You want to buy some things? Hold on buying some things right now. It's okay. If you want to spend, don't spend a lot. Some of you may need to have to tell someone, hey, I'm the Jesus is the Christmas gift, and my presence and our friendship is a gift as well. Thanks be to God for it. But he's telling us to spend less, but also save more. Here's where it goes. You might need to create a budget. If you don't have a budget, things are starting to get a little bit tight and prices are starting to rise, you're going to have to be able to stick to that budget in this season. You're going to have to be able to go into knowing where your inflows are, which means your paycheck or any other money someone gives you. And you're going to have to be able to account that with your outflows, how much you're spending, rent, mortgage, car note, insurance, the tithe, and other things or other bills that you may have to pay. You may even have to look over your bills and find out, hey, I might need to cut some stuff back. And when you begin to look at and create that budget, work the budget. Work it out. Yes, it's kind of hard. You may need some accountability in that area. Trust me, I've gone through creating a budget and going through it and having to do it. Look, it's not always easy. Here's something you can do. Ask God for help. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him how to do it. He gives it liberally and generously. All right. So not only are you to spend less, save more, create a budget, but start paying down some debt. If you have credit cards, you have student loans, I understand right now we're going through the student loan process and we're waiting to see if there's some way for people to get their student loans wiped out. And that's you. Go ahead and go through that. Go through that process. Whatever's out there, if there's a releasal of debt, you need to find your way to it. Find out what your debts are. Even if you owe a family member, pay that back. The Bible says to owe no man nothing, but to do what? Love one another. You want to be debt-free so that you can go out to do what God has called you to do without hindrance. So spend less, save more, create a budget. Ask for wisdom, ask someone who has some expertise in creating a budget, pay down your debt, whatever you may have. And then lastly, you can do this, share. That happens in Genesis 41, 55 through 57, and then also chapter 47, verses 13 through 25. Why are you sharing? You're sharing because not only has God given you the ability to make wealth, but he's caused you to be a blessing. You were blessed to be a blessing to others. Now, at the conclusion of Joseph telling all about this dream, he doesn't realize that Pharaoh's actually going to call him to be the one to do this. But he comes in, and when he comes in to do, he becomes second in command only to Pharaoh. No one else is above him but Pharaoh. He's leading the land. He's going out in the land, and he does everything. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that his plan works so well because God is in it that there was an abundance of what they stored up that they even had to stop counting. Well, as I mentioned to you, as he said in his dream, the lean years came, and boy did they do. Boy did they come. Wiped out everything. People had to come in, and as they had to come in, he had to share. They had to share. And we know about Black Friday. We know about Cyber Monday. But here's your opportunity on Giving Tuesday to find a nonprofit of your choice to give to during this season. Find one that you know that that God has touched and they are financially responsible. Okay? Not all of them are, sadly. Sadly, not all nonprofits are stewards of the gift. But find a nonprofit that is financially responsible, and they have the Star of Hope mission here in Houston. That's really, really good. And you, you can see the fruit that is being bear. Find yourself one. Find someone who's out there doing something that could be a blessing, that you could be a blessing to someone else. And then you can even try to put that in your budget. $5, $10 here, $20 there, whatever you want to do. There are other nonprofits, and you can actually find one on like Charity Navigator or other websites of that magnitude that you can just pick yours out and see which one you want to. But God has called us not only just to receive blessings from him, but to be a blessing to others. So use Giving Tuesday as a moment and as a time to go out and support a nonprofit that's in need or has a need during this season to be able to give back to help someone during this time. There's a lot of times you have churches who are picking up their efforts and trying to give back, and then there are some things, other organizations as well that are trying to do so as well. So go ahead and share during this season of giving. Cut back. Spend less, create a budget, pay down debt if possible, if you have it. And if you, so in order for you to be a blessing to someone else, that is you saying that you're committing your life to being everything that God has called you to be. So we want to go through this lesson, understanding and knowing that, yes, there's a recession coming. And people, the analysts are talking about it. You have billionaires talking about it. Yes, God takes care of his people, but he also wants us to be aware and mindful that there's a part that we have to do in being responsible with our finances, being responsible in our homes, staying away. If you like me and you love food trucks, cutting back on the food trucks and cutting back on going to brunch. Because y'all, if you know me, you know I love going to brunch. I love using Yelp to find different places and things of that nature. And I've even had to cut back on some things because you can't talk about something that you aren't doing. And so my budget is already inactive, of course, doing everything that I'm telling you that I currently have, that I've already said. So but go out and apply this to your life. Heed the word that you just received. God does take care of his people. There's a responsibility for us to do. To go out and do what he's called us to be so that we can be a shining light to the world. Can't be a shining light and y'all bogged down with dead people. And so you can take this moment of time to pray, and we'll go ahead and I'll be praying for you as well as we go ahead and live through these days that are coming and probably are already here. It's not to cause any scare and it's not to cause any fear. It's cause for us to be stewards and to be responsible with that which God has given us. All right? So all hearts and minds clear. Let's get out of here. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And may the Lord do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think, because you chose to put your trust in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.